And we're joined by Joon Lee of ESPN.com, covers baseball. Joon, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I definitely said the intro threw me off.
Yeah, it's very hard to explain. But I like to call, I'm Dell, I'm not the suck up in question. Josh is.
Okay.
He's more of a sycophant than a suck up, yeah. But he's here. We're just trying to figure some things out throughout the week. So, yeah, once again, thank you for joining us. I do have a question about what you're interested in baseball, because in this town, it's the Astros, and is Jose Abreu going to break out of it? Can the pitching injuries subside so we can have a real rotation once the playoffs begin? What's your most interesting story that you're paying attention to in baseball right now?
I mean, in regards to the Astros specifically, I'm really fascinated to see how the offense is able to carry a pitching staff that's dealing with so many injuries. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I think over the course of the last couple of years, it's been easy to understate the importance of the Astros rotation, especially some of the guys that aren't as big names across baseball. Like, you know, people know Lance McCullers, but I don't think as many people think about Fromber or Luis Garcia or Jose Urquidy. And Garcia and Urquidy going down is obviously a huge deal for anyone who follows the Astros. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Framber's kind of able to step up and really carry this rotation, because I think we've seen over the course of the last couple of postseasons especially that he has the stuff to be, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Whether or not he is able to actually fulfill that potential is going to be a big question, and I think going to carry a lot of weight in terms of the direction of the Astros season. And I think the other things on top of that, I'm fascinated by where the Orioles are. You know, they have one of the best back-end bullpens in the sport. They have such a young clubhouse, and they've been rebuilding for so many years. And they are on fire right now. I mean, they beat the Yankees in a series in New York. This is a team that doesn't have a ton of experience, but you have guys who have been kind of among the more underrated players in baseball. Between Cedric Mullins has been an incredible player for Baltimore over the course of their rebuild. And then I'm really curious to see whether or not their rotation is actually going to hold up. I think that there's a lot of questions about that starting rotation and whether or not, you know, rotation basically led by Kyle Gibson is going to be able to be good enough to actually go deep in October, and how the Orioles are generally going to approach the deadline. But between, you know, kind of the Astros storylines and also generally where the AL East is, I mean, one of the most competitive divisions in baseball, and I live in New York, and so I have an East Coast bias to all of this. But those are the two things that kind of jump out to me at the moment.
You talk about the deadline, and then you say you're intrigued to see how the Astros, how that offense comes on to try to back up this pitching staff that's dealing with injuries. As that deadline gets closer and closer, if you put your GM hat on and you wanted to make one big move for the Astros, or one move that you think would help solidify them as a team, what would be that one move that you would look at making?
I mean, I'm curious to see if they're going to be interested in any of the pitchers that are on the market. I mean, the White Sox, I think, are going to be a fascinating team to look at. Between Tim Anderson and Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito, you know, Cease or Giolito would obviously be two great fits for the Astros in terms of shoring up that rotation. I think there's also guys like Jack Flaherty as well with St. Louis Cardinals. But I think the word around baseball right now is that, you know, there's kind of a lot of things in the air, especially in the American League, in terms of teams that are going to be kind of on that borderline of the wild card race. And I think that the expectation, at least as it currently stands on May 26th, is that there aren't going to be many teams selling aggressively. And I think the White Sox are going to be kind of the prize at the center of all of this in terms of the quality of the players and the quantity of players that they're going to be willing to trade. And so if I'm the Houston Astros, like looking at a Dylan Cease or a Lucas Giolito, like that would kind of be my primary goal heading into the trade deadline.
After the hot start by Tampa, I bring them up because you talked about Baltimore, and Tampa look like world beaters, and they're still a very good baseball team. But Baltimore, because of the way they've played, only three games back, and you mentioned how competitive the AL East is as a whole, every team above 500. If we're talking about 3 months from now, when the season's wrapping up, how do you see that division playing out?
Oh, I just wrote about this for a week. We've got a story going up about kind of a Memorial Day check-in in terms of where the divisions are in baseball. And I think that, you know, the Blue Jays are in last place right now, but I could easily see them, you know, potentially even winning the division, depending on how things shake up. Obviously, the Rays are on fire, and I expect them to be in the playoffs. But, you know, the Blue Jays, if Alek Manoah is just able to find some sort of middle ground between what he has been over the course of the last two seasons and what he has been this year, which has been among the worst pitchers in baseball, he's almost a full win below replacement right now. I think that the Blue Jays will have a great chance of turning things around just because they have such a dynamic offense. Bo Bichette's having a great year. And Matt Chapman has had a strong start to the season as well, although he hasn't been as good over the course of the last couple of weeks. You know, they obviously still have Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Dalton Barcia has been good this year. Defensively, Kevin Kiermaier's had a strong start to the season offensively as well. That's still a really, really strong roster that I think could compete for a World Series championship if they just get to October. I'm curious to see whether or not the Orioles actually have that staying power, because that rotation is the big question mark for this team. I think that they're going to be a good team for years to come, but whether or not it comes down to actually, you know, having a shot at winning it all this year, I think it really comes down to the strength of that rotation. I'm not sure that the Orioles are going to be in a position where they want to ship out some of their prospect capital or just some of their top prospects in general to bolster that rotation, because the mindset there has always been we're building for the future. And I think that they view this as a year where it's a big step towards kind of being firmly in playoff contention for competing for a World Series championship. But they're viewing this as a season that's a step in progress versus like, hey, we need to go for it this year, because I think they think that they're going to have a big window here because of the strength of this young roster.
Looking at the bottom of that division, there's one team that is really intriguing to me and really honestly intriguing to me in the entire league, and that's the Boston Red Sox. And the story with them the last couple of years has been either they trade guys away or they lose guys in free agency. They've still got some talent there, but I'm interested to see what direction the Red Sox decide to take as we get later in the season. And what do you think would be the best path for them?
I mean, this is the existential question that I think about every day, just because I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. I'm from Boston. It's been a really weird season. I mean, you look at kind of the wins above replacement leaders for this team. Alex Verdugo is leading among position players, but you know, second, third, it's Connor Wong and Jaren Duran, like two guys you wouldn't necessarily expect to be kind of among the war leaders for the team among the position players. Masataka Yoshida's had a good season too. That was a signing that was criticized a lot by some around baseball when Chaim Bloom gave him a big contract this past offseason coming over from Japan. The big question here, I think, is the rotation, because the bullpen looks pretty strong between Kenley Jansen has had a relatively good start to the year. He's had a couple clunkers over the course of the last couple of weeks, but he's been overall very good over the course of the start of the season. Josh Winkowski has been one of the best relievers in baseball for my money. But that rotation has been kind of the big question. Chris Sale looked awful out of the gate, they've had to move two pitchers between Nick Pivetta and Corey Kluber to the bullpen. Kluber was the opening day starter and has kind of looked washed the entire season. And so they're really depending on guys like James Paxton, who hasn't pitched in 2 years, to step up in that rotation. Tanner Houck has kind of been inconsistent going from the rotation to the bullpen throughout the course of his career in Boston so far. And so they're depending on a lot of guys in that rotation who haven't necessarily shown it before over the course of a full season to really step up. And I think that the Red Sox kind of have this similar mindset to the Orioles in terms of they are building for the future, and that's kind of the mindset that they have. They're looking at a guy like Marcelo Meyer, who's, according to Kyler McDaniel, the number three prospect in all of baseball. They're thinking about that as the future. You know, there's other young prospects that are highly touted in their system that are among the best in baseball, but I think that they're going to be looking towards the future as well. But, you know, there is a sense, too, where Chaim Bloom is feeling pressure to show some sort of progress. And I think there's been a sense of the Red Sox exceeding expectations so far this year. But, you know, if things start to go downhill at some point, which I think just given the volatility of the roster, there's always a chance for that. Their internal win projections were anywhere between high 70s and low 90s, like a 20-game swing almost. There's a chance that things could go downhill here. It'll be interesting to see how Chaim reacts, just depending on how the season kind of plays out here heading into the trade deadline.
The baseball stuff is fine, but let's talk about what June actually cares about right now. You can go to @JuneLee and see it. He is manifesting hard an 0-3 comeback. you can see it on his Twitter account. You see all the 0-4 Red Sox highlights. He mentioned it being bred in Boston. You're talking to a man who is on the other side of that. Giant Miami Heat fan. Still okay, because, you know, you got your game four, and then you expect it to happen what happened in game five. Game six will be the one where if they're down in the second half, I'll be really nervous. Now you're manifesting. Things have gone well so far. Are you still manifesting, or do you now believe?
Oh, man, I'm really teetering on the border this morning. It's one of those things where I was looking at the 3-0 deficit, right, a couple days ago with the Celtics, and the Celtics are probably the best team to be kind of in this position, just given how high they ranked in terms of the offense and the defensive ranking. And Miami has a 3-0 lead while being an 8 seed, right? And so it's one of those things where if the circumstances of the world played out, right, and you have Tyler Hero on the bench due to injury, and you have now Gabe Vincent on the bench due to injury, Victor Oladipo's out, the talent on the roster for the Celtics far exceeds the talent of Miami. And so I've been just like clinging on to that hope. And, you know, the Celtics, more than any other team that I've followed in recent memory, they're just such front runners. And if things are going well, things are going great. So if they're just able to keep up this momentum, like they win game 6, I think it's going to be really hard to beat them in game 7. But again, it's like a one game at a time thing. Like they just need to get to game 7. But you know, I feel like it's a blessing and curse being a Boston sports fan sometimes. I know that that sounds like an entitled thing. How many championships we've won.
Come on, man.
But
blessing and a curse. Since 2004, that stuff has to go out the window. Right? We're done with the curse stuff, right? It's over, right?
This has been nothing but success.
The Bruins took it on the chin, certainly, but due to a South Florida team, we'll see if that plays out again. But since 2004, championships in every major sport.
Yeah.
Maybe the New England Revolution haven't won anything. I'm not sure about what they've done, but everything else.
It's the one black spot. Yeah.
You guys, look, I respect it. I respect you. You know, things can go one way or the other, but I think we're all going to say, enough of Boston people talking about how tough it's been, right?
Oh, it's so hard. So hard winning all these things.
Stop it. And you're talking to Astro fans, so we know success, but nothing else. It's only the Astros. You guys have everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when you pour your heart into it and you have that optimism, like, you're just opening yourself up to heartbreak again, you know?
That's fair.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. I hope you suffer some on Saturday, to be honest with you. I'm not going to be rooting against you specifically, but if you are somewhere at about 11 p.m. Eastern time wondering what happened to your season, know a guy here is going to be like, well, that's on you guys. We're going to the finals. But, June, thank you for joining the show. I appreciate it. Thank you for just indulging me in hating on the Boston sports scene. Thank you.
I'm the punching bag for a lot of people because I live in New York now. And so, like, I've been going back and forth with, like, the Yankee Stadium security guards the last couple of days about the Celtics and then giving me crap about rooting for them. So I'm very much used to it at this point.
That is June Lee. You can follow him at June Lee. He's a writer for ESPN. Follow his work there. June, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's June Lee of ESPN. You can follow him once again at June Lee.